important thing is that you're going to get to hear a fantastic 10-minute speaker tonight. I'm really excited to hear Suzanne come on up and tell us what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So let's give her a round of applause.
I'm Suzanne. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Suzanne.
I had no idea there was a discoteca over there. That's where I would be tonight. It used to be the Broadway, and that was one of those places that I got kicked out of. That was back in the 80s. I started drinking when I was about 12, and I liked it. I had fun. We had a good time. And when you're 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, it's fun. There's no problems, you know. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous after 10 years of drinking, and I had gotten a DUI and a drunk in public, and I knew alcohol was a problem for me, and I would go into bars and people would say, you know, I think you're drinking too much, you might be an alcoholic. I'm like, yeah. So, you know, and I got to a point where I didn't lose all the stuff on the outside. I lost all the stuff on the inside. You know, I lost all my self-respect. I lost me. I just lost me. I would humiliate myself on a nightly basis. I was one of those get drunk and loud and fight people, and I was just angry. And alcohol intensified that. Rather than taking away the feelings, alcohol made it worse. So when I came in here, I came in on a court card, and I really at that point didn't want to be here. But an incident had happened to me over St. Patrick's Day, where I had gotten, almost raped in a motel. I got picked up by the cops. I got thrown in jail. I'd gone back to the bar. I walked from Foster Road all the way back to O'Sullivan's and threatened a barmaid with a knife and went to jump over the bar. And some lady put her hand on me and said, why don't you just go home? And I went home and I woke up the next day and I went, I can't do this anymore. And I had had a schedule of a meeting, so I went over to the 16 Heart Club. It was an 11 o'clock meeting, and I sat and I listened, and it was like people were telling my story. I listened to the feelings. They said things like, I've got a hole in my stomach that you could drive a truck through, and I thought, oh my God, other people have felt like that. You know, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I was so sick and tired, and I figured I would die drunk because I couldn't control it. So when I came in, my sobriety date's April 6, 1989, and I came in with a really bad attitude and a three-year-old daughter and no concept of how to be a human being. I sat in meetings and picked my nails with my buck knife and just looked at people like, fucking go ahead, talk to me, you know, and they'd say shit like, keep coming back, and it was like, oh my God, you know, I'd be over at the women's meeting, and at that point, there was a bunch of, like, blue-haired old ladies, and I remember I just was pissed one day, and I just felt uncomfortable, and that restless, irritable, and discontent, and I'd sit over in the corner by myself and, you know, just dare people to call on me, and they made the mistake of calling on me one day, and you know, I thought I was a badass sitting in the corner by myself with my buck knife, and I said, you know what, I don't even understand what you people are talking about. I don't fucking like you, and I don't want to be here. I'm fucking going to go drink. And I got up, and as I'm leaving, I hear the old ladies go, you just keep coming back. I was like, God, if I got to hear that one more time. But the keep coming back thing helped me, you know, because after that, and I did drink, and after that, I stayed out for, I don't know, about a week, and I was done. And my first year of sobriety was hard. It was difficult. But I did everything people told me to do because, you know what, I didn't know what this was, but I sure as hell didn't want that anymore, you know. You know, when I couldn't stay sober for me, I would do it for my daughter because I needed to pick her up from school that day or, you know, she needed a mom, you know. She needed a mom. And one of the first things I learned was, you know what, you trust God. And I didn't believe in God. I was one of those people that's like, oh God, they're talking about God again. I bet they believe in the Tooth Fairy and Santa and, you know. And you know, because I was at least a little bit willing to believe in a God, to do what I was told, and it wasn't anything big. It was like, go wash the ashtray, Suzanne, because back then we smoked in meetings. Go clean up the coffee cups. You know, all of a sudden, you know, my sponsor would be sitting next to me, and they'd go, we need a new secretary for this meeting. My arm would go up, and I'm like, what in the hell? What's the matter with you people, you know? You know, and I had people in my life that loved me enough to hurt my feelings. You know, people that would call me on my shit. I've had really good sponsors over the years, and I haven't always been the most willing. But when I was new, you know, I set a foundation for myself. I went to 2 meetings a day for years just because I couldn't function. I couldn't function enough to go to work, you know, and over the years, I stayed sober, and but for the grace of God, because when I came in, people are like, she is never going to stay sober. You know, people would say shit to me, and this is my first 30 days. They'd be like, hey, Suzanne, we're going to have a barbecue for Ed's birthday or whatever up at Orchid Hill. You're welcome to come if you can stay sober that long. I was like, oh, hell no. Of course I can stay sober that long. You know, and it was Wednesday, and the barbecue was on Saturday. So that's how much faith people had in me. It was like, you know, today it's like I learned how to be a mom, and I learned how to be a friend. And, you know, I've had a lot of awesome experiences in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've met a lot of good people, and I've met some really fucking jacked up people. And sometimes they're the same people. You know, we have the best people in Alcoholics Anonymous, and we have the funkiest people in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and I always say, you're my people, because there's the funkiest people in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I have never met greater people than I have in AA, you know, and the women in Alcoholics Anonymous, all those old ladies that were scared of me and kept telling me, keep coming back, and I'm sure they're thinking, God, I hope she doesn't come back. they helped me be a mom, you know. They put up with my shit. You know, my first sponsor told me, she said, you can share anything you want in a meeting. She said, don't let people tell you what you can share in a meeting. You suit up and you show up and you be honest. And I've always done that, even when it makes me look bad, and I think it saved my life. You know, because there was a time, and there come a time in everybody's sobriety where you think you're doing good, you want to look good, you're just doing this in meetings, talking out your neck, life is great, and I owe everything to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, inside you're dying. It's like, I relate, you know. Today my daughter is, she's going to be 29 years old next month, and she invited me to her wedding, and I walked her down the aisle. And she wanted me there when my grandson was born. And she wanted me there again when my granddaughter was born. And she lets me babysit these children, you know? And it doesn't sound like much to anybody else, but I'll tell you, that's fucking huge. I wouldn't let my mom babysit my daughter because she was a drunk, you know? People trust me today. People think I know shit today. You know, you get a 20-some years, people think you know stuff. It's like, wow, okay. You know, they're calling me up, and I tell them the stuff that was told to me. Go to a meeting. You know, go to a meeting. Do some writing. Do the deal. You know, the best thing I get today is I get people calling me that I sponsor that got big stuff going on, or not so big stuff, but it makes my stuff look really small. You know, and it helps me stay in perspective. You know, my life is good today. And it's good because I continue to do the deal, and I continue to work the steps and work with others and trust God and clean house and, you know, read the book and all of that. So if you're new, it's like, we don't say this because it doesn't work. You know, if Alcoholics Anonymous didn't work, you'd be sitting here by yourself. Nobody would come. You know, my life is awesome today. And that's the reason that I keep coming back, is because my life just gets better and better, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. You know, and it's all because I have this spiritual program that I get to work, you know. I don't know. I'm so grateful to be here. And I think I'm going to let Luke speak now because I'm getting tired of hearing myself talk. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff.
Give Suzanne another round of applause.